The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Ronnie, he's Paul, and 6-0 wins are the perfect start to the weekend. Our thanks to Fiona for being our guest last week, discussing her playing career, following United, and the women's game in Scotland. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, Smokies get smoked. My United 11 from my 5 decades of watching them. My good, bad and ugly. Edrionians and Inverschnecke preview. The loan report. The academy. The women's team. Our A to Z of Dundee United. And On This Day with the Arab Archive. It's all coming up on episode 214 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
Hi, this is Maurice Malpas and you're listening to the Dode Fox Podcast.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with Having a Good Time Paul McNichol and the better best forgotten Ronnie Costello. Friday night football returned. What was the fuss about?
It was all right, eh?
That was all right.
It was all right.
In the pishing rain?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. Set you a wee challenge last week. After
I'm doing that straight away.
Straight away.
Because there's a few things we had to discuss, but we're getting
right into that because it was the last thing we mentioned when we spoke to Fiona. So let's get right in about it because I've seen some teams in reply to you.
Yeah.
Remind us of the rules.
So the rules that you set were I hate to pick two players from each decade that I've saw United. So that's the 80s, the 90s, the noughties, the 10s and the 20s. And there was like a rogue one that you could have
a third for any of them.
Correct. So, are you prepared for this?
Ready.
That's a good team.
Now, it had to be in a formation, remember? It had to be... you couldn't have just put 10.
Oh, it's in a formation.
Here we go.
So, you just want me to read out 1 to 11? Or do you want me to read it out as, like, 80s, 90s?
You tell us the formation.
It's a 4-4-2 rondo.
Right, so we're wanting...
Let's go.
Position...
Yeah.
Name.
Yep.
Decade. And then anything you like about them.
Yep.
Go.
In the goal, I've opted for Billy Thompson. He was my other pick. So I didn't assign a decade to him.
Okay.
My right back would be Richard Gough for the 80s. My left back would be Andy Robertson for the 10s. My two centre halves are Neary and Petrich. And I've stole Neary for the 90s because he played in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
See what I've done there?
I see what you've done there.
Now, my midfield, it's Cavalier. Okay, it's Cavalier. Is it unbalanced? Possibly, but it's Cavalier. So I've went for Levitt, Charlie Miller, Ralphie Millen, and Morgaro Gomez.
It's Cavalier.
It's Cavalier. We might be a bit leaky. But we're going to be good
might
going
be a
forward.
Bit centre heavy.
We're going to be good going forward.
If you Andrew Robson on the left, right enough, so you'll be all right.
We'll be all right. And Gough was incredible on the right. So Levitt's obviously for the 20s, Charlie Miller for the noughties, Ralphie Milne for the 80s, and Gomez noughties. Although you could have got both of him as well.
Okay.
And my two up front, Lorne Shankland for the 20s, and Nadir Sifji for the 10s.
Nice.
I think it's a decent team.
Cavalier. I mean, you did say that.
I did say that. Like, I'm going for it.
You are.
My team is set up for the second leg of a tie that we're 2-0 doing in. Basically, like, if we lose another, that's the way it goes. But we hate to get goals. So that was my choice. That was my picks.
Nice one. We will post this up during the week. But if you want to reply to that with what you would pick, as some have, and some have had some really good teams that have been sent in.
No doubt.
You know, a lot of choices to make. Was it easy enough? Did you zone in quite quickly on a few?
I started on the 20s first because obviously that's the easiest decade to pick for. And so I was like, what's been our two best players? And I thought, like, Levitt, probably, yep. Shankland was incredible for us in the championship. And then I just worked back for there. Like, 80s and 90s, that's how I had to be a wee bit loose with Neary. Because Neary, when you think of him, you think of the 80s, don't you? But he played in the 90s. So.
He did.
So that's what we've went for. Mm. But it came together fairly quickly,
There you go.
Yeah.
So there's Paul's decades 11. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, we can call it that.
Call it that if you like. Before we get to, I suppose this will kind of all go into it because we need to mention Sports Sound.
Yes, we do.
So do you want to do that or do you want to do it as part of that both thing? Because it was slightly separate.
Yeah.
Let's speak about this.
We'll speak about Sportsound. Yeah. So,
go on, then.
So our mate Andrew was on it. The new phone-in thing that they have from...
That's on to about 8 a.m.
Yeah, but they talk about all the football. I say all the football. They talk about Celtic and Rangers. And then they get to fans that have been pre-given a heads up, would like to speak to you. So I thought, right, I'll tune into that. So I kept that our mate Andrew was going to be on about 27 or something, he told us.
Show for us is at 7.
Yes.
That's a caveat you need for this.
Yeah, yeah. So he was going to be on about 27, so I thought, right, I'll do what I'm doing and I'll pop it on about 6:20, just in case they're a wee bit early with it. And then I find out Charlie Mulgrew's in the studio, along with Ian McCall, and I was like...
Perfect storm.
Yeah. I thought, okay. I wonder what they'll speak about. And then it's time for Andrew to go on, and they ask him about Friday night, and obviously he's glowing in his praise for what he witnessed.
76 taps off.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the host, Kenny McIntyre, turned it to Mulgrew and basically last season and basically asked him what went wrong. But my issue with the what went wrong question was he asked him about a game that Charlie Mulgrew didn't even play in.
The Celtic 9-0.
And that kind of pissed me off a wee bit. But Mulgrew himself, in fairness, last night when Andrew said, look, there was accusations last season, oh boys, chucking it. He says, and that's like we've heard from teammates of Mulgrew's and probably him himself saying, and that's the worst thing that you could accuse a player of. But that was, these were legitimate accusations. These were words that I had said myself on this podcast loads of time. And on the back of that, it wasn't even a question for Andrew. Like he kind of got cut off from Mulgrew, who then put in his best defensive performance for about 17 months. He was on the back foot straight away. He was like, no, training was great. We had a meeting before that game. I thought he tried to bury Tony Watt a wee bit when he said, I'm not saying there was an issue with him and Jack Ross, but I think Jack Ross didn't fancy him.
I don't think there's an issue, but Jack Ross didn't like him.
Okay. Okay. So Jack Ross was in charge for seven meaningful games. There was friendlies as well. Tony Watt started 6 of them. Yeah. So I don't know what part Tony Watt he didn't fancy. Now, I was as critical as anybody of Tony Watt last season. I didn't think he was contributing that much at all when he was in the side. But to say that the manager didn't fancy him when he started them 6 out of 7 games was a nonsense. And then he went on to say, look, everybody in that changing room was fully behind the manager. We were all trying. And it was just gibberish. Like, he's kidding himself on. And I'm no wanting to get personal. I'm sure Mulgrew's a great guy. He's clearly a favourite with the media, with the women. But I just think he's kidding himself on, Rondo. I find it a wee bit of insulting. I really do. Like these boys are fucking lying to us. Edward's done it last season, and he's continuing to do it. And like we had moved on. We've not even barely mentioned last season on the podcast that currently. But when it got brought up yesterday, I just thought, I can't believe that there's still no accountability for him. He's saying, I heard people saying, Ken, when things aren't going right, they bring up your age and they bring up your slow. That's because you are Alden or you were Alden slow. Mm. That's how people are bringing it up. People didn't just randomly say, these boys are chucking it. And to be honest, I didn't think I ever accused Mulgrew of chucking it. Edwards, yes, 100%. And I'll never back down for that because of that nonsense up in Dingwall when he moves his head out the way across. But Mulgrew was past it, in my opinion. He was just past it. But they're just continuing with this. Now we were all in it together. It was just confidence that was doing it. That's a nonsense. Like, to me, it's a non. Of course, confidence is a massive thing in football. I get it. But they just the refusal to accept any sort of accountability or blame for the whole team, club, squad getting relegated, it just rankles me. It's something awful. And one of the things he said, he was like, he mentioned the St. Johnstone game. He was like, look, we were in games and we'd scored and we got back and then kind of about a minute later, we go and concede like a horrendous goal. You were part of that. And you still didn't even like own up to that. Burragetti's mainly to blame for that because I don't know what he done, if he powered down or he shut off or whatever happened. But Mulgrew was part of that. He got the bar, he gave him it back, and then it just went absolutely belly up for there. He's kidding himself on that. That's the bottom line. But when I was listening to it last night, I was in a shitey mood anyway. So I was watching Barcelona yesterday, Rondo, and that prick Jude Bellingham done a number on them. And then the third of beer, so I was a wee bit emotional. And then I listened to that thinking, this is going to be good. See what Andrew, our buddy, says. And then Mulgrew just come out, stuck to his guns that were stuck to last season.
I think you're right in that, like, he brings up the wrong game because 100%. He doesn't play in that game. Like, it doesn't make... And the problem you then get is you then lose a few minutes of the show because they're speaking about this game. And I think I was quite interested when he did say, like, it basically come down to a pick between me and Ryan Edwards. Man, just went for that, and that's fine. And you're thinking, fair enough, right, that's okay. But the chat still for that game, and then went to the Tony Watt stuff, and you are thinking, because by this point, I'm looking at my watch going...
They never gave Andrew a chance to get back in.
We're running out of time here. Ah. And then he gets in right at the end, and the all-mark thing was Mulgrew's jumping on, yous were great last week against Partey. I went there, and that's not what you mentioned.
Yeah.
And he did get, his back obviously went up when Andrew had mentioned the chucked it line.
100% you know? It did. Straight on the back foot.
And then he went into that. And then the interesting one with this weekend, I don't know if you've bound to have seen it, Stephen McLean's interview after St Johnstone. He basically throws every of his players under the bus.
Yeah.
And without saying it, pretty much says they've chucked it.
Yeah.
Ken? And you're thinking, you kind of hate that, like, The Bucks got to stop your manager, right? And we've said this a few times, right? It's got to stop your manager. Last season, we had three of them.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just an absolute clusterfuck of a season that we've been through.
Yep.
But to hear that yesterday, I was part of that. Just
nothing. No accountability whatsoever for any of them. None of them. It's beyond the pale, like. That regardless of all the talk that any of the players that were part of it last season that were culpable, in my opinion, like, there's never been any sense of hands up, like, this is on us. None. They just doubled down. They're like, no, we didn't chuck it. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. We were training great. We were a tight group. We were pulling in the same direction. Like, I was at missed games last season. What they're telling me isn't what I saw. And that's what I base my opinion on. I feel like they're lying to me and they're tarting the piss out the fans. They're saying stuff like that.
So picking out of that, we're a tight group, we're in it together. And what was the other thing you just said? He said three sort of points there, right? So, tight group, in it together, are trying to get, pull in the same direction, end goal, bloody blah, be it, stay up, didn't get relegated, promotion, win the league, cups, whatever, right? They're the three things. Mm. I'm going to hand you last season's team and this season's team, they are the bullet points you have to put on one of the teams. I guarantee where they're going.
Of course. Yeah. And you can make an argument that last season, like, individual players would be on paper better than the players that we've got this season. No doubt about it. Like, I'm maybe no the hell 11, but definitely a large portion of the players should on paper be better. But what I'm seeing so far for this current team, and I get we're in the championship, but there's a unity about them. They are clearly are pulling in the same direction. Like, that, you'll likely no hear me, certainly no you, but you'll definitely no hear me this season accusing any of them of chucking it, because they didn't look like, and like, you ken me a wee bit better, Miss Rondo. Like, I wouldn't just say that randomly for a laugh. Like, I said it because, like, I believed it. And I formed that opinion because of what I saw. It's just, it's infuriating. Like, it really is that these boys still, like, can fucking touch them with a blowtorch on that brass neck of theirs. Really, they're just kidding themselves on.
It's a real, on the back of that, I was looking sort of roughly at the timelines for last season. There was obviously all the managerial changes that we had, you know. You get beat 7-0, 9-0. Can the manager keep his job? Some people say he should have given a chance because it wasn't long, and we get all that. And then obviously, I mean, the Liam Fox appointment, I think Andrew says it is just barbaric.
It's
like
a disaster.
And then went back to, you were also on BBC Scotland when Jim Goodwin got appointed. Mm-hmm. You done the wee press round, and I'm like, you know, it's brave of him, this, that, and the next thing. And it was, because, I mean, and then we discussed the appointment, and it was like, well, wouldn't it be MD's first choice given what's went on, but then you're looking at other normal names and maybe he's the best of the bunch. He certainly, and I know many formed the opinion, was that before he went to Aberdeen, you'd have had him because the way the Samanti would play and you'd have a bit of a laugh saying, oh, you'd be smashing boys the forehand and all that. And then obviously comes in, we get a bit of a jump up for it. We've then given ourselves half a chance. Now, I'm not saying it was because we spoke to Ian Hearts, but after we spoke to Ian Hearts, we didn't fucking win a game or a point. But you went into there, and we dwelling on it too much, but it did kind of, I know you weren't happy at all yesterday.
No.
After you held that, and there was a lot of people that were listening. But then when you look at what Jim Goodwin's achieved now, but you look at the games like the Aberdeen game, when the so-called captain doesn't chuck it and just gets... Like, that was a game we should have got something. That was Jim Goodwin's first game.
It was, yeah.
Then we win a couple of games. We've given ourselves a fighting chance. And then we go down. I mean, we just go down. We got a fight. I mean, we say that. In the five games, it was just...
It would have been better, like, in hindsight, if the three games that were won back-to-back-to-back, if we just hadn't. Because it gave Abdi a sense of hope. And it was hopeless, basically, because the last five games, and I was going to the games, and obviously, when you're going to the games and you get speaking to fellow fans and your mates, and you're like, what do you think of the day? And I think every time I was like, I think we'll be up for it today. Because how could you not be up for it, Rondo?
Yeah.
And that was one thing that Mulgrew said yesterday when Andrew mentioned the chucking it. He was like, what, so do you think that boys were trying to get relegated? No, that's not what he said. You're trying to put words into his mouth. Andrew's a boy that paid a lot of money to go and watch that pish last season. What Andrew's probably trying to say is that he's wanting to try as much as you could have, even though you're telling me that you are. You didn't care because you get paid your thousands of pounds a week, regardless whether you win 9-0 or you get beat 9-0.
Yeah.
But as I say, like, it was a nonsense for Mulgrew, in my opinion. And it was a nonsense for the radio show in general as well to bring that one game up that he didn't hear, he didn't play a part in.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. And they didn't give Andrew enough time because I've no doubt he would have went on to certain other games. He probably would have mentioned the Mulgrew role in the Birriggetty disaster. He would have mentioned Dingwall when Ryan Edwards ducking out the way of Buzz. And I think that was also the game where the first goal, Mulgrew and the keeper and Abdi got in a bit of a funk goal. And I dare say Andrew also would have liked to have said, all right, like you've said that we were lucky finishing fourth, which most people thought we were the season before. Like, and it wasn't a great football, but somehow we finished fourth. But what was the difference? How could the same players be defensively sound in that when in the season we finished fourth? Like, we might not have played great football, but Mulgrew was like, we were lucky, we were getting a goal up and hanging on. Well, is that luck? Do you really believe that's luck? So you didn't rate yourself at all as a good defender? I thought it was good defence. And then the same players the following season look like they've never met each other and never seen a football before. So, like, these questions, it would have been nice to ask, but he would have just bluffed it anyway, so hey-ho.
Indeed. Yeah, it was an interesting listen on Saturday night, certainly. So if you haven't listened to it, I think it does go up as a podcast
it
on
does,
BBC
yeah.
Sounds.
I posted it. So you're about an hour and 7 minutes in.
There you go. So if you want to listen to that and form your own opinion on what it was all about. But yeah, it was a bit of a...
Right, let's stop speaking about the
past. It was a bit of a shambolic one.
It was nonsense.
Talking of shambolic, we'll get to Dick Campbell's post-match, but Friday night, under the lights, the lichties are in tune, and again, the weather was absolutely torturous.
It was boffin, yeah, it was boffin. But, well, before Friday night, Rondo, myself and you, we got invited down to see the display team guys put their work in, and I went down, you were busy, but I went down on Thursday to the warehouse where they were working, and I just remember, like, I walked in and the orange part of the, like, it said 100 years and then the black part was United, we all the images through the words in the letter, sorry, but when I first went in, like, this, the massive orange part of it was laid out, and I kind of got specs on it, but I'm looking at it thinking, I don't care what that is. So I had to say, look, no offence, yeah, but what does it say? Like, I kind of work out because I'm basically standing right beside it and somebody showed us it and then they showed us the whole thing and I was like, that is amazing. But the sheer scale of this, like, the orange section was all in one at that point, but on the walls of the warehouse, there was, like, I think it was six massive big black sections that were blank. It was just black plastic or whatever that stuff is. And then the lights went off. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? I got mugged, like, hands on my pockets here. What's going on with the display boys? And then it looked like somebody was playing Beat Saber on the, like, the headset thing, the VR Quest things. And then the lights went back on, and it was like some, Adam Milroy, he was into them, and it was like he scribbled loads of stuff on the black plastic stuff. And then for that, he just, it just became magical. Like, he was, it was amazing. Like, the one I saw him paint was the Hoostie with the Scottish Cup, which I think was the letter D or United. It was just amazing. Like, what they boys do, I don't know who funds it. I don't know.
It's all self-funded, isn't it?
Self-funded. They were there all night. I think they were there. Like, I went down on Thursday, as I said. I'm sure they were there a good few nights all night putting it together, because it was a bit of a last minute thing to do it. And then obviously pre-match, when you see it, it's all worth it. Like, it's easy for me to say it's all worth it. I didn't put any effort into it, but it's just so, so good. It's such a nice thing. And I say it every time. I really, really hope the club and the players appreciate it. Like, when we sat down with Harks, I made a point of asking him, like, what does it mean to you boys when you see it? And he's like, yeah, it's nice. I fucking mean it's nice. You get how much work goes into that. I need a wee bit more appreciation for it, because it's just class. Like, it's great to be a part of.
I'm not playing devil's advocate here, but last week we did say that we didn't want the players bothering about.
No, of course.
And it's going on around it. Like, the focus is on the 90 minutes.
No, but in the cold light of day, I would like them to think.
Well, I generally think if you ask them, certainly after a game, and whatever, let someone really fresh in their mind, I think they'll get the sense of that.
Mm.
And I think how many times have we said it is, you know, Friday night football or any night football, big occasion, one-off occasion, we tend to shite the bed, eh? We have shat the bed on occasion, especially when it's on the TV, right? Yeah,
but we weren't, so that's how we did now.
Exactly. But you're thinking to yourself, there's a lot that, for that to go wrong on this occasion, you know, 100 years, what would be better? Well, the game could have been off, so we're already against the weather and everything that goes, but it's incredible. You know, we've said it before, everything's amazing, the work they do, and the different types, of, you know, it's not the same thing every time.
Nah, well, when you think back to how it started basically we hudding up a bit of orange curd or black curd, and I mean, that was cool. Like, I thought that was nice, but these things, they've just taken on a whole new life of their own, and they're phenomenal. The work that goes into it, the brain power to come up with that idea in the first place.
Yeah,
I can't even comprehend how they do it, but like Andy Baxter and Milroy and the rest of the squad that were there, males and females, like, they were just, it's wonderful what they do. Like, I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And look, always looks amazing as well, you know, to go for that initial chat to probably scribbling it out on a bit of paper to, for it to become sort of that, and
this massive, huge banner. In fairness, like, when it got unfurled, I thought, I wouldn't mind if this just stayed here, because it's pishing down around. Like, and just somebody gives a shout when there's a goal, and I'll check my phone and see what I scored. That's no problem. But no, it was stuck
under it again?
Well, I run down with the corner because it was kind of blowing in the wind. I wanted to
run.
Well, moved swiftly.
Good bear.
I think I slipped about half the steps. So that was the swiftness coming in it. But it's great. Like, I could see it on your screen there, Rondo. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah. And it's something that's, like you mentioned, to go from where it was to where it is now, and they get better all the time. And
yeah,
some of the displays are bigger than others. And, you know, and that's what I really like about them. You know, they are very, very different all the time. And clearly annoys all the right people just up the road as well, which is even better.
You know what? I don't know. Well, I do get it, because obviously that's your rival team and whatever. And of course you're going to put them doing it every opportunity. But like, I kind of see how you could criticise that. Like, the wee team up the road, when they done their display, like, in a way, hats off to them for trying it.
100%.
Because they're trying it, and that was their first attempt. But it was Loughman. Like, let's no pretend it wasn't it. So it can only get better. But what the United boys are producing, different level. We must say one of the best inns in Scotland. Like, Celtic and the Rangers, they have the big inns now and again, but like, United's fucking beautiful, man. And of course I'm biased.
But it is, though. But you're right. You're not just saying it because you're a United fan. No, saying it because it does look impressive.
Of course, myself and you, we'd both appreciate the work that goes into it.
100%.
It's phenomenal.
As far as they could correct us, but I think it's pretty much a self-funded sort of thing.
Need to get a GoFundMe or something.
You know,
that's what we need.
Because again, materials are no cheap.
No,
you know, everything that's used.
I mean, even if the materials and everything were covered, like as I say to you, like boys are there all night, and then they go to their work the next day. It's the dedication that goes into it.
Yeah, and it's trying to, because correct us if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure we done a wee donation for them on the back of
pennies, probably, compared to what they need.
100%.
Yeah.
On the back of one of the live shows.
The foundation gave them.
And there are the things that will really help, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Next time they're there, if they're there, you know, send a load of pizzas in. Paul pick up a spray can.
Well, that was it. There was pizzas delivered. I'm not sure who delivered them. Yeah. And if I'm being honest with you, Ron, it was wee bit of gutted. Obviously, by the time I got there, it was like to a slice left. I was like, bastard. Could have went a slice of pizza.
So you could have had three slices. You only had the two.
No, I didn't have any. I was in a corner butte and I was just there getting in people's way, so I didn't want to steal their scran and But brilliant. But brilliant. So let's go on to the game.
The weather was something else, wasn't it?
Boffin. Absolutely boffin. And as I was saying to you before, like
I'm glad you're not mentioned this.
Like Leo these days, he helps out with the community trust. Probably in a selfish way because he gets to go on the pitch before the game. Hey, we
slight
kick about.
Slight
tackle mascots, male or female, doesn't matter.
Correct.
So I get into the ground and he is absolutely drenched. And I was thinking, I can't believe this. He's going to be drenched the whole night now. He's going to be freezing. He's probably going to be moaning. And I kind of waved over him and he just kind of his wee fish lit up with a daft grin. And I thought, oh, he's happy. At least he's happy. So I kind of try to cool myself down. But even before getting into the ground, I was in the Heggy and I bumped into Augustine. Mm-hmm. He made it over for Argentina, whatever airport he made it over for. I think he flew via Barcelona. Not a bad place to fly via.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a lovely lad. He was basically saying, like, this is a dream. I'm like, it's pushing her in. This is no one's dream.
And it's still kicked off yet.
This is no one's dream. We're at home, we're in the championships, pushing around, we're playing hard broth. But honestly, he couldn't have been more excited.
VIP's getting the Heggy. Apparently, we're for the club. I can't even get in the Heggy.
I would not get in the Heggy either.
I wouldn't know either.
Nah.
I had a right nightmare trying again. Couldn't again.
Were you in costume again?
Honestly, I'm trying again. Boys says, can't I in? I says, well, I've not got a new badge yet. I says, I'm on the list. No, I'm not on the list. I need to phone somebody. The authority. I was like, well, I'll just hand you my bag, mate. You can go and read the teams. He's like, what are you doing? Like,
what did the phone? Jim Goodman?
The phone MD. Phone MD. So, and then, he said, oh, you are on the list. I was like, okay. And then I think a couple of the boys had that. It was a different boy it was on. So I don't know if he was just playing the game or he just had to be like that. And I was like,
if it's a different boy, like if he doesn't ken you.
And
I would not let you in anyway.
I would not let you in either. I'll just hand you my bag, mate. Right. When you come
like, can you announce your teams for outside the ground tonight? Perfect.
Go to plug this cable in, mate. I'll be all right. So, but I left the house and I was just like, this is nice. Kind of was near rain at that point. And I got in and about 10 minutes later, I was like, oh, this is mental what I like. It was biblical at times.
Torrential. Yeah.
But it was a fair build up for it. Again, you're getting to that point that it's a special occasion. You know, it's a Friday night. It's been moved. The other team are no happy anyway because they've just finished their work. And it was just got that sense it was getting closer and closer. Doris came on with a match ball.
Brilliant. Couldn't see her under that brolly though, but brilliant all the same.
No surprise.
Yes, you needed the brolly. Christ almighty.
And then obviously the teams come out and the display comes out and you're thinking, oh.
Teams come out a new strip.
Indeed, yeah.
Perfect Jack Walton. Felt a wee bit for him. How did we not give him a new strip?
I know.
Just gave him like the run of the mill.
I tell you what, even before you pick on it, like for to be in a pure white strip and your centre half's not a bit of mud on it in 90 minutes shows there was class.
But it's not a muddy pitch. Class. Like they'd all been soaked and we were able to see their bras or crop tops through it. So that was a bit unique as well. But I thought the strip was lovely when it got announced because I had no idea that we were planning on wearing a different kit for the night. So when I got announced, I thought, that's nice, I'll definitely be getting that.
Nah, you're not.
Further down you read on, you're like, oh, the danger will be getting that.
And I'll tell you right now, We're not winning any auctions.
No, because it'll be Boise money or businesses that.
Oh, it's a stupid money. It's a stupid money.
How does that work? The club must get a portion of it.
Like, the club got it.
They got it.
I think so.
Match won, but the website must get some.
Ah, there'll be a cut, like, but it'll not be like 10%, 90%. It'll be, as far as I'm aware, it's the club. It goes to the club. But they can nominate like charities and stuff like that. But
I saw an idea on Twitter. I think it was World Mate Gaz on Twitter or X, and I don't even think he's Gaz now. I think he's Plenty Onions or something. But he was like, they should have raffled a couple so the ordinary punters can get them, because it'd be the best will in the world. Like,
oh, it's hard to get stupid. I mean, Louis Moult's a buy here for a grand, aren't
they? Exactly. Like, I can't afford that for a football top that you wouldn't wear anyway. Like, obviously, no Abdi's as skint as me or you. But boys with money will get these strips. Oh. And I thought they were nice. I thought they were really nice strips.
So, our both were coming to town. But Ardy beat them 4-0. What was there to worry about?
I was not worried in the slightest. But like you touched on it at the start. You were saying, like, can we've been here a four. Can that's just PTSD for watching United do over the years. I get it. But this team, I really was not worried that our both were going to cause them much bother. And I say that knowing full well that they were on the back of a good run themselves. Like, apart from us scalping them, I don't think anybody else scalped them.
Yeah, done pretty well.
So I was fairly confident going into it, to be honest.
Unchanged?
Unchanged, yeah. I mean, if you win again 5-0, unless there's an injury, you can't be changing it, can you? Really.
Ben's starting to look a bit stronger again. Boys coming back for injury and that. Obviously, yeah. I think Archie Meekins is probably the only one that's missing for what would be first-team squad, of course.
And in fairness, I think when he is back, I could imagine him and Craig Moore maybe swapping just now. Because I think Moore's on the bench, and I think you would probably, and it's nae hard up to the laddie Moore, but I think you would take a go with Meekison. Yeah. So everything, touch wood, just now is going as well as anybody could have hoped.
And what an opening 15 minutes.
Simply blew them away, Rondo. It's basically what I dare say every football fan wants their team to do, just come out the traps absolutely flying. I thought they would score in about a minute. I think it was the corner that came in, and then...
Oh, it's miles behind the line.
It's hard to... Well,
seen a still picture, it's miles behind
the
line.
I think that's maybe the keeper's glove.
Nah, that's a bar.
You think?
Go and check your prescription again, then.
No, look,
that's a bar.
No, I'm not convinced.
It's the bar.
But in the moment, I thought it was in.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, obviously, right down on it.
Somebody has to be, if I thought it was in, I was like, I am miles for Kenan. But that, it was what a start that'd have been.
Yeah. And then, about 3 minutes after that, we do score. And I've saw it again, and it's tight. I'm thinking it's maybe on. And then, like, okay, we didn't get that goal. You've no give with the end that might be over the line. Well, just
you're thinking there, that's literally what, within what?
Four, five minutes. Yeah. We absolutely battered them. Middleton was ruining the boy at right back.
Mm-hmm.
Kai, love Kai Fotheringham. I love watching him play. But he was on fire as well. But most of the play initially was definitely coming down Middleton's side.
And then 7 minutes in.
Boom. We'll just do a carbon copy, but we'll stay on side this time. And for that point, it was never in doubt anyway in my mind, but for that point on, Arbroath just were never at it.
No.
And I felt like we could, any time we wanted to score, it felt like we would score.
And we had a second that was, it was the same kind of move on the opposite side, trying to get down the side, cut the bar in, and then it's actually a really good, Tony Watt's involved in both the first goals, and he plays a really nice pass. I think it's actually for the first thing. In the second one, he wins the ball, knocks out, and you could tell, again, things happen so quickly, and you only notice it when you see the goal back. But at the second phase of play, into the corridor of uncertainty, the bar comes in, and he's obviously, it gets knocked out. And in this split second, you could see him going, as he's gutted, he's not got near it. Ross Dalgrish took the bar, shimmied the boy, and then smashed in.
Yep.
Keeper got a touch to that.
Keeper should do better.
Or should he?
It's right at him. Now, maybe it was going that fast and it was so close to him.
Don't say that.
But I thought he should have done better.
40 minutes in, we're 2-0.
But you didn't shoot, you didn't score. And Ross Docherty had done brilliantly well to get himself in that position to open up for a shot. So,
and he was playing at Tandice. I mean, I couldn't believe he was on the team sheet. Couldn't believe it.
No, exactly. He's warming to the old ground, quite clearly.
But a great start.
Oh, the best possible start. And as I say, as soon as we got the first goal, legitimate goal, I thought we are battering them here. They kind of get out. And I also thought we were playing some affy good football, considering the conditions were absolutely atrocious. Ross Docherty spraying the bat about like nobody's business. Like Pirlo in his prime. No, I want to settle down, Rondo. It was just an absolute joy. An absolute joy.
Is there liquid ketamine in that bottle of water?
No, no, it's just straight Glen's vodka.
They did nearly get one back, though. They put it right across the box, you know, it was also up the other end, but...
Wasn't it on target, was it?
No.
There we go.
See what you mentioned at the start of the game? I can't mind how early in the game, it might have come before it, before the goal. I think it did, actually. Boy Gaston comes out for the bar and keeps on sliding. I thought, oh, no.
and you know what? That was the only area that I could see of the ground that looked like it might start flooding a wee bit. It might start pooling water.
Because the render didn't stop.
No, and he's just slid right through it.
And then that chance with McKenna puts across, Walton slides as well, and you think, Ken, this is going to need a hood up. Because it wouldn't have surprised me if there was, Ken, the ref picks a bar up and checks it. But as the game went on, you were thinking, it's hudding up really well here.
Oh, and magnificent.
As in the pitches, the bar wasn't hudding up, and there was a couple of moments in both the corners that was a bit dubby.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but no wonder.
Oh,
But in general, considering the deluge of water that has fallen on this area over the last 12 weeks, let alone just Friday and Thursday and Friday night, the pitch looked absolutely magnificent.
And then you're saying the keeper should have done better the second. He's absolutely had a howler for the third.
Well, he's got an assist. We'll give him an assist for the third. And as much as I think Kai's a great player and I love watching him, every goal that he scores is a gift. he's never had to work hard for a goal yet. Like Falkirk, a tap in, fed a terrible pass back. Airdrie, not quite a tap in, but for the halfway line, an open goal. And then Arbroath, like he was about, 3 millimetres out, and he just smashes it in. It's mental, but you take it, and it just, you could see that they were rattled. They were absolutely rattled.
Of course they are.
And we'll get to what their manager says after it. But like in some ways, he's probably right, saying, Ken, there was a lot of gifts. Well, definitely Kai Fotheringham's goal was a gift. Mm. But again, like we got ourselves into an area of the park where like gifts can sometimes occur. Mm. And Kai put himself in a position to capitalise on any mistake, and that's exactly what happened.
How did you sum up the first half? 3-0 in at half time?
Tremendous.
Explain a bit.
Absolutely. Nah. And
2 state pairs done.
And
Move on.
I didn't even think we were really good. But I thought we could score more here. Like so we're 3-0 up. And I certainly by no means was a disappointed, but I thought we could absolutely batter them here if we really want to. So like apart from being half drook it, I was sitting fairly comfortably.
And at half time, this is a part of a job, in inverted commas, that never ever I'll get old getting to introduce legends onto the pitch. And just, I got the list just before the game. Here's the guys that are coming. These guys are trying to come as well. Obviously the weather and whatever else. And you just look down the list. And I literally get a list of names, right? And you're thinking, these boys are coming on the pitch. And you write something about them. And it's like, that's not going to be hard. Look at the names.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to be hard?
Mm-hmm.
And you just think, getting the order it's sort of done, and you're thinking, you're starting with Paul Hegarty. I mean, how many times have I said that? The captain!
I know. I'm standing there thinking, like, Heggie and Holtley, certainly, they're on the pitch an awful lot. But like, from my point of view as a fan, like they could come on halftime every game if they want. Like, the boys are absolute icons of our club. It's just nice to be in the same place as these guys at the same time.
I mean, you look at that again: Hegarty, Holt, Malpass, Kirkwood, Fleming wore white boots before MDLs.
Yep, yep.
Eh? The major.
We love the major.
You know, we? Ian Ferguson
scored a goal.
Sean Dillon, Paul Dixon, and again, I thought it was quite. Maybe just the random order it was in, but the fact Matt Reynolds was last, but by no means least given, he was the last person to...
I was disappointed that you didn't give him his full title. Okay, because I was looking, thinking, I'm not sure, like, I saw Sean Dillon and I saw Dixon and I was like, I mean, we love Dickers, but I thought that's a strange one to end on. I thought he maybe would have ended with, like, maybe somebody... like a Heggie rather than
me
leading with him or Ronnie Costello. But then when I realised it was Reynolds, I thought, come on, Rondo, then I'll let people down here. introduce him as the Ginger James Bond.
I know.
And the last
you've got to keep it professional.
That's professional.
Well,
he showed up professional capacity looking like a Ginger James Bond.
But when you looked in that list, you know, these guys all played their part, you know, to varying degrees.
Matt Reynolds, he's not going to go down as a United great, no, by any stretch. Wouldn't have bullshit anybody to say that.
But
his role was so important. Him and Connolly, and Butcher at the time as well. It just changed the culture within the team, and it helped us get out the doldrums of the championship.
And I think there's a real similarity between the team now,
mm-hmm.
that you need certain players to do certain jobs and certain roles,
certain characters. And I kind of, that gets said a lot for managers when they're signing boys, but I think there's merit in that, definitely, because we didn't, the characters that we had last season, they were half of cartoons. That's not what we were needing. We need boys for war films, and that's what we've got.
Because we needed, back then, you look at, obviously that transfer window was ridiculous that January, but when you brought in people like Reynolds, Connolly, you know, your Butchers and stuff, it gave the team something different as well. It probably gave the team a professionalism, a mm-hmm. bit of leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know, battles. These boys weren't going out and kind of pirouetting boys and knocking it through boys' legs and whatever else.
But they didn't accept defeat.
Exactly.
And that's not to say we won every game with them, but there was very, very few games that were given away.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, the three at Ayr, Alloa and Queen of the South. But
we
want to go on about
that. No, we didn't. But I think, and that's similar, when you look at the characters now, you know, your Holtz, your Gallaghers, your Dockerys and stuff like that. So it was quite probably fitting as well that Reynolds was the last to lift the trophy, and albeit the circumstance it was, but at the end of the day, that's the way it was. But it's great at halftime when these things happen. It's an absolute pleasure when you get that opportunity for them to come in. And I think the rain went off a wee bit at halftime, which is probably good as well, because you can really enjoy it a little bit.
Can I be running on Heggy?
Can I?
Come on. Even God sends that.
So you saw the legends and those type of players. You had Tantua Pez, we were 3-0 up. Life was pretty good.
Life couldn't have got much better at that point, Rondo.
But guess what, Paul? It did.
It did. It really did, yeah.
Boys come out and went, and they took them to town yet again. So there's a man desperate to get some more goals, and he gets a lot of stick on social media for boys, as does the assist king. I think Scott Simpson referred to him as well, does Glenn Middleton. But Tony Watt, I thought, especially in the first half, he was involved in the first two goals, involved in the build-up. You've obviously got the header that just goes past the post,
yeah,
which was a lot closer for the angle I was at. It was awfully close, but then he was so involved for robbing the boy for his goal. Plays in Kai,
who should score.
Feels like you can't shoot for Toffee at the minute, unless it's on a plate. But then he gets the ball, then goes back to Tony Watt, and it's just a lovely wee touch.
Even for where I sit, Rondo, I saw the wee dink over the sliding tackle, and then to just smash it.
I was delighted for him. I think there's obviously he was thrown under the bus by his so-called mate yesterday. Clearly something went on in January, as we're well aware. We would love to find out what it was. I think every fan would. And he come back, could be tail between the legs, who knows, or that just Jim Goodwin's thought, nah, Ken Watt, I'm hearing about you. You'd mentioned last week, maybe it's because nobody else wanted him, fair enough. And he probably did, bridges to build again. But I just generally, over the last wee while, you can't fault any of these then. Could he score more goals? Of course. But he's putting himself in positions. He's playing different roles. It was more or less a 4-4-2. Not as cavalier as yours.
No.
Last week. This week, he's playing back and behind slightly. But he seems to be pulling his socks up, working his socks off, working his bars off, whatever you want.
Yep, he's playing well. There's no getting away with it. He's playing very well. He's contributing. At this time, 12 months ago, you could say he was now, but that's in the past. Like, we're trying not to worry about that too much now. He's came back. He's certainly built the bridges that needed built, because they did need built. We kind of say they didn't. And his goal on Friday night was just absolutely brilliant. The deftness of his wee touch over the sliding tackle and then just to smash it home.
Yeah. And then the old Middleton Molt.
What a cross.
Happens again.
What a cross, eh?
Brilliant. I actually thought his touch was going to let him down. When he got to the back, it's right on the bell line. As soon as he got it and he went past the boy.
Yeah.
And he cuts his socks.
But, well, you cannot see if he's going to supply
goals.
You
don't like that, do you?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. But see if you're going to supply goals. You could do what you want.
Do what you want.
Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Tie your tap off. Do what you want.
Some people might want him to tie his tap off.
No. Some people do.
Yes, 100%.
Great cross again. And it was.
But that's what you... When Middleton gets that ball, that's what we all wanted to see him do, like last season, early in this season, because we believe that he's got that in him. Just get the bar and run past your man.
There's obviously a big difference though, because Goodwin's played him on the left. He played on the right.
Yeah.
And he likes that cut in, whereas I think Jim Goodwin said to him, no, you can put the band with that left peg of yours.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done.
At times it can be a wand. And that delivery on Friday night was inch perfect. And he also, in some ways, his job's made a wee bit easier, because we all know Louis Moult is the sort of player that will be in the right area at the right time. That's what he's made a career out of doing. And again, he was there. And it probably wasn't an easy finish. He made it look easy, but just the Hale goal was brilliant. Middleton taking the boy on, skinning him, great bar, and maybe the bar of the night, and Louis Moult being in the right place again.
I said to the boys on after a game for DUTV, Dave and Scott and that, what a difference to hear like a penalty box striker.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does a lot of work inside the box. He'll drop deep, knock a bar off, but somebody like that inside the box, it's unbelievable.
I mean, goals are the hardest thing to come by in football, and he is well versed in getting them. And we've thought that from the get-go. Like, I think he made his debut in that League Cup clash against Partick, but it was the game after it, there were a bit Montrose or something, you just thought he is going to score goals, because he's always, I mean, that he just sniffs them out, doesn't he? Like, there's certain boys that sniff them out, like a Tony Watt and Louis Moult. You could say they're strikers. If you didn't care nothing about football, you'd be like, oh, that's the same position. But they're not the same sort of striker. Nope. Nothing like it. Like Louis Moult is a poacher in some ways, but he knocks his pan in. Whereas Tony Watt, he's no poacher. So Louis Moult, in a decent team like what we've got just now at this level, he's going to score goals. Like it's inevitable. Mm. He is going to score a lot of goals.
I mean, there was one point on Friday, he was out wide left. Tony Watt was up front, and I think Glenn Middleton was playing on the right at some point. And it shows that what he does. I mean, there's times he's on the halfway line, just not, again, it's all about, if we've got the bar, they kind of score.
Yeah.
Right? And he's in, he's not in the bar, but he's getting then into those positions on the six-yard box.
There was one, it was in the first half where he pulled it to the left wing, and me and the wee man, we were like, I don't want you there, we need you in the box. And then he puts in a great bar. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't mind why I was just about on the end of it, but yeah, he's a lot more than just a poacher, but ideally I would prefer him to be hanging about the six-yard box all the time.
I mean, just before we got into the six, just speaking with those two guys there, you know, Louis Moult's now, you know, played nine.
Mm-hmm.
These are league, just in the league, in the championship. Played nine, scored six, four assists.
Yeah, struggling, eh?
Struggling. So they had 14 shots as well. It's a 43% goal conversion, Paul.
Wow.
And Glenn Middleton played 10, eight assists,
and
one goal. Yeah. Should he add more goals? Of course. But listen, he's putting the bar on a plate for boys, and I'm quite happy with that right now.
He's also, like, there was occasions on Friday where he was getting himself in good positions as well, and it just wasn't coming to him. And
or what about when he was in a very good position in the first half, didn't release the bar?
Yeah. And also in the first half, when he was running through and the boys wiped him out.
That's what was it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got to play Tony Watt there.
I thought so, yeah. I thought so, but, I mean, it's easy to say when you're watching it, but maybe in the moment he probably... It's maybe a sign of his confidence that he fancied himself to get a shot away. But if he just had got maybe an hour, 2 yards forward, he might have. But for where I was watching it, I thought this boy's always catching you here.
Yeah.
But he's another one that's in very, very good form. Like, he's no complaints.
And the sixth. An assist for Super Jack Walton.
Yeah, and that was the goal that I celebrated the most, Rondo. But it was mere a get it right up your arsehole. Because Jack Walton, the kick out or whatever, was it a kick out?
Yeah.
It was a kick out. I didn't think he threw it that far. But I couldn't have mind.
Prime Schmeichel.
And Cujo gets it. And the one thing, like, whether you like Cujo or no, he's positive. Like, I thought, he's just going to, he's not running at the corner flag here. He's going to go for it. and that big dirty lumbering bastard tried to wipe him out, and I thought I was losing my shit at him as Cujo wasn't a bothering.
Brilliant attempt at challenge.
Brilliant balance for Cujo. Nae thought in his head to stay down, roll about, get the boy booked, sent off.
See if that's somebody like that's no as quick as Cujo. He's smashed.
Oh, of course he is.
Smashed.
He is. Yeah. But Cujo himself could have, like, it was a foul. There's no doubt it's a foul, but he wants to keep going. He keeps up. Somehow he keeps up. And then he, like, the best way to answer it, I'll just cut inside the box here and stick it in the top corner.
Like, no even spoken to.
No.
No even spoken
to. But I think the goal saves him for getting spoken to.
It shouldn't matter.
No, 100% agree with you. But let's remember why the referee is. He's an absolute donut.
Oh.
And the fact that it went right in the top corner, and that's the best punishment that you can meet out. Like, a great get it up,
yeah.
To the boy.
Absolutely. And it was a brilliant night all in. You know, it was good that we didn't take the old foot off the neck. You know, we kept pushing at three because it could have been easy to change it, even with the subs, to bring on that amount of subs. Didn't stop anything. Like, we kept going.
Yeah, yeah. And that's obviously, that comes through the manager.
And it's probably big as well that, you know, Molt in the middle and both got 90 minutes. You know, they were able to take Denton Gallagher off again. Mm-hmm. Obviously took the captain off because, well, he doesn't like playing at Tandice anyway. But he done all right. But he was able to change it up. And then, again, you bring on playing, we've said it loads of times, but see watching boys like Declan Glass and Chris Mockery play football, it's a joy, like.
It is a joy.
Just to play the game in just a really nice way, always positive.
It's a joy when they're playing with confidence in a confident team, which is exactly what's happening just now. I mean, Mockery, he took a shot for about 25, 30 yards, did he? Probably knocked the boy's specs off in the shed rather than troubled the goalie, but that's just coming for confidence, because a lot of young boys, when they get into the team, they might think, all right, well, I'll just play an easy pass or whatever. But no, he's got it. He's got the belief in himself to hear a go. I mean, we don't even need to speak about Declan Glass and belief in himself to hear a shot, because he probably came out of the womb taking a shot at something. But it was magnificent. Like, Friday night was absolutely magnificent. There wasn't any failures in the team. Even Jack Walton, towards the end, when we made some subbies, like, he had a wee bit of work to do.
Great save.
He had a couple of good saves, but one really good save. But I think, again, that's because, like, you're getting that far into the game and you just want to keep the clean sheet. Like, I was wanting to keep the clean sheet by that point, and I was also thinking, I'm looking forward to Goodwin's interview after this. I wonder, after a 6-goal win, if he's still like, the clean sheet was the most important thing. Stop Lana with Jim.
Because even, again, there's Scott McMahon throwing himself at 6-9 up.
Of course. It's phenomenal. It's everything it wasn't last year.
Yeah. Do you want to speak about the post-match, or do you want some voicemails?
I'll go with the voicemails.
Go
with the voicemails first. Then.
Okay.
A substitution for Dundee United, number 8, Grimshaw. Cancel that.
Rondo, you kind of mark subbies, okay? I can that you get involved in the game and you're watching and you're probably in your mind thinking, well, I would tuck Grimshaw off. But that has to stay in your mind.
I will tell you right
now. You kind of mark that.
Liam Grimshaw's number is up on the board. Number 8 is up on the board.
Well,
so I read number 8 and then that didn't happen. That's exactly what. And I tell you, I will be... For the boys that do, for anybody in that club that listens to this nonsense for the media team, show me that video to back me up, because I didn't just read numbers willy nilly. It's bad enough trying to read the numbers on the back of the shirts.
Oh, that was impossible.
Right? So, guess the only way I knew, I had to look at their arses. It's the only way I knew. And I was taught that by a pal of yours. Right? And it's like, how? Look at Ken, that team. Yeah. Right? Because I thought, see, if that was the away team, I'd be abs. I mean, I'm mildly snookered some away team players, but. Well, that was impossible. Like, how are they no black? How is the numbers no black or outline or whatever? But anyway, so that's what happened. His number went up, it got read out, and then they changed it.
Well,
or somebody put the number in wrong.
Well, that's it. Boys thought you made it a null hunt of it, so it's funny though.
Hi guys, Craig here. Last night performance was absolutely fantastic. Everyone played their part in that game last night. Middleton unbelievable, Moore unbelievable, Walton what saved near the end. So I'm so glad I was at that game last night, and it was good that they did it to show the legends as well on 100 years to being Dundee United Football Club, and seeing the legends walk around at half time as well. But yeah, unbelievable performance, and can't wait for many, many more of this, and come on the shed.
Well said, Craig.
Exactly. Nailed it right at the end there.
Absolutely.
Come on the shed.
Great episode as usual last week, but just want to put out there that, Paul, there's no danger you were punching Mepos. He had to catch his first though. Brilliant performance last night. Could have been fucking 10. Sure that corner was in at the start, but hey-ho.
Hey-ho indeed. The fact that we can be 6-0 winners and look back on a bar that might have been across the line, an offside goal that was tighter than a duck's arse.
Kai missing 17 chances.
Aye, Mockery shooting into Dens. Could there have been anything? It could have been. I mean, it could have been about five after about 20 minutes.
They were battered, like, genuinely. And in some ways, Rondo, I can we're in the championship, but when you see your team play that well and get the rewards for it by the goals and keeping clean sheets and Abdi's knocking their pan in, it doesn't really matter why you're playing. You just enjoy it. It's just really, really good to be a part of, to sit, to think, I've paid to watch this tonight, and I'm all right with that.
There's also got to be a thing as well that, obviously, right after the game, I mean, even at half-time, there was people thinking, they're no great, they're probably one of the worst teams we've seen all this. And it's like, oh, they're shite. It's like, well,
they're fourth, they were fourth.
But can we know talk about a confidence out of that, saying, we've made them look shite. We've made them look bang average, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We don't always have to be, it's only them. Yeah, we're tapped for a reason, because we've been the best team.
They had won 6 out of 7.
Well, no much better a Friday night than that, lads, yeah? 6 goals, completely dominated from start to finish, and the unbeaten run goes on, so happy days. What I would like to say, though, is how much of a bitter, bitter old man is Dick Campbell, eh? That's an aggregate of 10-0 that we've pumped his team this season, and he's never once given us credit for playing well. It's all about, we gifted them goals, and we did this, and we did that. Even the Wraith game, they could have lost the way to Wraith. Just because he's a bitter zombie and his club's dead, come what I mean? Get it round him. Supper. On the shed.
Thank you very much, Eunice. I kind of completely agree, and that's a good time to start speaking about it. Like, I don't know. Does he hate United?
He has to. It's unbelievable.
Like, you can be of the opinion that we made it easy for them, and you could also hate that opinion, but they played awfully well. Like, 9-0 against Celtic last season. Christ almighty, what were they still speaking about that? But we were dreadful. But Celtic were ruthless. Like, both things can be true. Like, we were terrible. They were really good that day. And they were a really good Celtic team last season as well. But Dick Campbell just, he's no for conceding that at all. It's all, well, if we had done this, if we had done that. But you didn't. And maybe you didn't because you're up against a team that doesn't allow you to play the way you want to play. Like, 10 goals in 12 games. Then conceded. Was Jack Walton made 2 saves. I mean, how more emphatic can you get? And I also understand Arbroath are a part-time team. I get it. But they punch above their weight. Like, they're very... When we were doing there the last time, like, there was no easy games against Arbroath. None. Like, fuck, they beat one once.
Beat at Tardis as well.
Okay. Well, we'll not mention the goal scorer, but of course. But that, it's just that it was never on the cards on Friday, and it was never on the cards first game of the season either. We've just blown them away. It's as simple as that. And if he wants to kid himself on, thinking that there's something that he could have done about it, then, like, be my guest, Mr. Campbell. Knock yourself out.
You wouldn't have noticed. You wouldn't have heard this, certainly. But as we got into injury time in the second half, and we had plenty of the bar, and we're still going forward and whatever, Campbell, shouting at the referee, just blow the whistle. Just blow the whistle. I do get it. So you mean 6-9, what's the point in injury time? Like, because you're not scoring 7 goals, but let it alone, all that shite. But, you know, and I could we have lost against Wraith? Aye, we could. But Kemmel, we didn't give up.
No, but we didn't.
Exactly.
Like, but we didn't. Like, does that not tell you something? Like, how many games unbeaten have we been?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be 320 now or something.
Easy.
I don't care what his issue is. Eunice is right. He just comes across bitter.
100%.
Bonjour, Arsène Wenger here. To welcome Monsieur Goodwin to Club Invincible. Au revoir, très bien, et fuck lady.
Was that Philippe Philop for Paris?
It's like it might have been. Be an interesting one you've said we were going to get 100 and whatever points. I mean, we might not get close to that, but still the run goes on. We're playing some great football as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And got to be positive. Confidence is high. Of course there is. Confidence is high. We're flying.
All right, lads. Tim from Miller Cabs here. Loving the podcast as always. Great weekend to be an Arab. Friday night under the floodlights. A thumping win against Arbroath. Happy, very happy, but I'm a bit sick that, you know, we could have had a decent goalkeeper last year, a couple of decent centre-backs, and we would have stayed up. But anyway, keep up the good work and brilliant stuff.
Yeah, that's all. Well, I can't speak for everybody, but there are times it's in the back of my mind when I'm watching games and I'm thinking, Christ, like we were like one or two players away. Like I don't think that our current team gets relegated last year, albeit for the top league. I just don't think.
No, for what I've seen that top league.
Now. And again, that's me saying that individually there was maybe some better players in the team last season, but as a collective, this team's far superior.
Absolutely.
Just is. It would be really interesting to speak to boys that were there and still here.
And by the way, there's an open invite for that.
Of course. Just to see what the difference is. Are you wanting a man of the match?
That's what I'm going to wait right away. I ask you right now.
Man of the match. Right, well, there was probably 10 candidates. nae offence, Mr. Walton.
That was what I say,
okay,
yes.
Okay, nae offence, but you weren't even wearing an old kit, so can I give you it? For me, it was Docherty. I thought he pulled the strings. I thought he was a class above. But, I mean, like I've been saying this week, so you could make a case for a Middleton, for Molt, for Watt. Like, boys were just tremendous. Mm. Boys were just tremendous, but I thought Docherty was outstanding.
Yeah, and I was first to say to people on Friday night, and actually in one of the group chats as well, that, and I said at the start, I didn't care much about Ross Docherty, you know, and I think that even Ian McCall said on Sports Sound yesterday that they knew Partick would miss them, and he also knew Jim Goodwin would love him.
Yeah, yeah. And he's of the opinion that, like, he can make the step up to the top. Mm-hmm. Nae bother. As am I, like, the more I watch of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, Ross Docherty, man the match. Thank you very much, by the way, to everyone that dropped by on the voicemails, doorfoxpodcast.com. They seem to be back working. We didn't get them all through, but we got a fair few through, so thank you very much if you take the time. And our beanies are back on the store, by the way, doorfoxpodcast.com. Right, good, bad and the ugly.
The good this week, Rondo. Friday night, at home under the lights. 100 years to the day since the very first time that Dundee United played a game. A beautiful strip to commemorate the occasion, unless you're Jack Walton. And a 6-goal win to complete an offy brawn night. It doesn't get much better than that, Rondo. It really doesn't. The bad. When the baddest thing that I can think of about the game is the weather, then it's no too bad. The weather was howling, though, and I can't have been the only person that wondered if the game would be on. So hats off to the ground staff, because that pitch looked magnificent the whole night. And the ugly, we've just spoke about it, the bonnet. Despite our beloved team knocking 10 goals past his side, he has yet to offer up even the remotest modicum of praise to the Tangerine Express and just how formidable that we have been for against his side. If I'm honest though, Rondo, I kind of like how much that we piss him off. So get it right up on.
I think it should be a thesaurus for Christmas early. Throwing in words like that. Airdrie Onions in Inverness coming up this week. Play a Tuesday night away to Airdrie Onions. I need to get calling them Airdrie Onions because they're no Airdrie, they're Airdrie Onions. And then they're a turn, a big dunk on Saturday to Tannadice. The preview will be quite easy here because they actually played each other yesterday. Inverness beat Airdrie Onions 1-0. So that means Airdrie have no won a game since Rhys McCabe said they could win the league.
Yeah, and I think Rhys McCabe's possibly the only person that believed that. But again, he was, and I'm not comparing him to Dick Campbell, but he was another manager when we beat them 2-0. He said that they should have won the game. Played well off the park or whatever, absolute drivel.
Yeah, they've picked up 1 point in the last three games, and Inverness 1-2 and drawn 1. Mm-hmm. So they're in a decent run of form. They've certainly got that new manager bounce, and let's be honest, he could wrap your bus.
Correct, yeah, he can. So the Airdrie game, the trickiest thing about that possibly would be the pitch. They can play some nice football, no doubt, but from memory, watching them at Tannadice, they were playing nice football in other areas that we're probably more than comfortable allowing a team to play nice football.
Certain podcast pals started throwing yesterday. Didn't I play against at Tannadice?
Telfer.
Yep.
Charlie Telfer. Good wee player. Mm-hmm. Good wee player. We like Charlie Telfer.
Yep. Inverness.
And Inverness, well,
a couple of new signings.
The big guy seems to have steadied the ship, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Him and Gary Boland, they seem to have steadied the ship up there. So it's maybe a wee bit of an unknown. Like we, obviously, we all know that we got the 1-0 win up there a few weeks back, but Christ, it was a bit there.
Scenes.
Yeah, it was scenes, and there was boys out of place that shouldn't have been out of place.
Stuart's running after them.
Correct. Podcast t-shirts near the pitch and whatever, which we will not be held accountable for. A bit like Charlie Mulgrew last season. But the it was a tough game.
Mm.
It was a tough game. We finished it with 10 men, which probably made it a bit tougher. And we got out of jail. We a win. We Chris Mockery getting a very late goal. So, I mean, it's at home. You should be looking to win it, of course. We should be looking to win every game this season, let's be honest. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see that one. And it'll be good to see Big Dunk again in an official capacity. So will we boo him or will we have shite bags and will we cheer him?
Absolutely. As long as we've got 3 points, then I care.
Yeah, same.
Oh, it's a loanies been up to.
A loan report this week, Rondo. Well, Miller Thompson at Montrose. Miller started the live TV match on Saturday evening as Hamilton came to visit Montrose. It wouldn't be the best of evenings for young Miller, however, as his side were pumped 3-0 on the night and he picked up a booking in the 60th minute. Wouldn't be Miller's best performance, but he did play the full 90 minutes. Leighton Bisland at Falkirk. Leighton would start Falkirk's match on Saturday as they welcomed Alloa to their home patch. He was in his usual spot of right back and put in a great shift on that flank as his side coasted to a 3-0 win. Leighton would also play the full 90 minutes, which is good because he was struggling to get some minutes down there, but he does now seem to be getting more and more game time. Rory McLeod at Forfar. Not in the squad yesterday, Rondo. I don't know if that's because it was a Scottish Cup game and we thought we're no one in the cup tied. I've no idea. He might even have a wee injury, but he wasn't in the squad. Logan Chalmers at Ayr United. Logan would continue his run of good form and starts as his side welcomed Morton to Somerset Park. It would be a game in which his Ayr side would pretty much dominate proceedings without being able to score. And then in the 87th minute, they got caught out by the shitehouses from Greenock with the classic sucker punch and Morton would ride off into the Ayrshire night with all 3 points. Logan played the full match. Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. Lewis would play the full 90 minutes on Saturday but had a relatively quiet game. Kelty would defeat Stirling Albion 1-0 on the day with a last-minute goal. Brian Mwangi at Spartans. Brian was once again an unused sub as the Spartans headed up to Glebe Park in the Scottish Cup where they defeated Brechin 2-1. He still hasn't featured for the team. The Academy team. Well, there was no Academy games to report this week, but Scott Constable and Owen Stirton did represent Scotland under-17s this past week in their games against Belarus, Turkey and Kazakhstan. Both lads got plenty of game time over the three games and Owen got himself on the score sheet in the win over Kazakhstan. The women's team. There was no game last week for the ladies and there's no game this week either due to the international break. We did have two players from the women's team represent Scotland under-19s in the past week though when Niamh Noble and Georgie Robb both saw action in the games against Iceland and Serbia. Next week, when the league action gets back underway, United welcome Celtic to Foundation Park. That's not going to be an easy in Rondo.
I'll bet it's not. A note on the over-60s walking football team. They are in final action of the competitive season at the Orium in Edinburgh today. They'll be out to fight for a place in the top four. So all the best of luck to them. Our A to Z of Dundee United then. Oh, it's been getting interesting. Dylan Levitt got ill last week and we have...
Boys weren't happy, eh?
No, they were not.
Boys weren't happy. Boys of a certain age weren't happy. And that seems to be a thing every week.
100%.
Yeah, every week it's boys of a certain age.
So, with M being massive, this week we are going to do M and next week we are throwing in together MC and Mac, M-A-C. So, it's just M's. This week, and would you like to kick this off with some dishonourable and honourable mentions?
Christ, dishonourable, Rondo. It's the biggest list of dishonourable mentions that we've had.
Fire on.
Goran Marklund.
I didn't have him in mind.
He's dishonourable.
Okay.
Brandon Mason.
Tick.
I can't, like, he played two games. The Falkirk Skelpin was his debut, and I think he come on as a sub away at Alloa, but the Falkirk Skelpin, he never played. Alec Mathey.
Tick.
Yep, because. Just because. He's dreadful for us. Pavels Mihajuks.
Tick.
The Butcher. I think he was a fucking butcher because he wasn't a football player. Jean-Jacques Messi.
Tick.
Six games. Dreadful. Tony Moles. You mind him?
I don't know, I'm mine.
Dreadful. Dreadful. Nothing like Michael Moles, let me tell you. Robbie Muirhead.
Tick.
He's going to be looked on unfavourably for a number of reasons. The main reason being he was absolutely garbage for what, but also because he was brought in when we shifted
Armstrong and
GMS, yeah. And then, again, got tell, these boys will be all right. What is it we people learn about? Jennison Myrie Williams.
Tick!
Yeah. Speed demon, but maybe should have stuck to truck and field or something. I don't know.
Is that your dishonor? Was that?
There's one more.
Go.
There's one more. Stuart Murdoch.
Tick!
Played it 83 times for us. I've got a memory of him captaining my beloved Dundee United. Terrible.
I watched him at Brechin and thought he was brilliant, eh?
Terrible. So it's your fault. It's your fault.
Well, I've got a couple for you that you missed.
Okay.
Lee Mayer. He wasn't good.
I wouldn't have gave him a dishonour.
I'll give you another end. Mark Miller.
Yeah, but.
And I'll definitely give you another end. Lee Miller.
Oh, Lee Miller. 100%. I'll concede Lee Miller. Mark Miller. Yeah, he probably wasn't the best. Lee Mayer, wouldn't say.
And I'm going to throw another in, and only after last night, Charlie Mulgrew. I'm hitting that. Fuck him.
It crossed my mind to stick Mulgrew in.
No,
but
I've done it.
But I'm the bigger man here, Rondo, literally. But I think his first season back with us, he was excellent. Meh. He was excellent.
Honourable mentions.
Yeah, on you go.
Alan Mayne.
Of course. Had to be. He was the first name I wrote down before I then whittled it to while we're picking and whatever.
I've got a couple of questionable ones in here, and you can give the opinion, right? I didn't mind this boy, right? Thomas Mickelson.
Nice, he never got a mention.
I didn't mind him.
Yeah.
Bilal Moshney.
Yep.
Just for being big Moshney.
Well, I wrote down meant to be a big mad bastard, but came in at a time when we were fairly stinking and was instantly in our better place.
He was class.
Yeah, he was all right, yeah.
I did take Callum Morris on that list because I actually thought he was all right for us.
He loved the physio though, did he?
Aye, well.
Loved the treatment table.
All right, well. And I put Simon Murray in there.
Simon Murray, yeah. I mean, okay. Good goal to game ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
And I have an honourable mention, but I know you'll be in Paul's list, I would think, but I never ever seen him play. Would be Ralph Milne, obviously, for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Well, I've got another couple of honourables, but I'm thinking any of them's in your list.
Oh, he will be, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say Raphael Mead. Like, pretty sure he scored on his debut against the Sheep and was also tremendous at running up a tab on a McGill's account, allegedly.
So, didn't he score on, like, three debuts in a row or something, like his league debuts, cup debut.
I think so.
McKills. They went to an admin.
Ian Mitchell, 314 games, 133 goals. Obviously, we never got to see him play. Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Got put in 2010. Played in both legs of the famous Barcelona games in the 60s. He scored in the home leg. He finished top scorer a few seasons. And I think he's fourth on the all-time scorers list of Dundee United. So.
Oh, wow.
You kind of know.
Nope.
You kind of know him on the list. And even though I think you're going to hate this guy on your picks, I'm going to say an honourable mention for me, and it's an age thing here, Rondo, is Charlie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Podcast pal, likely still in witness protection. Chico probably looks back on his career with a few regrets about how he lived his life. But even taking that into account, he was still a diamond of a player for us and one of these guys that was worth the admission money alone.
Yep, 100%. He is on my list, for one.
Yeah.
I'm imagining Ralph is on yours.
Yeah.
And are we agreeing on the final one?
Ah, you hate it. It's obvious, is it?
Super Mo.
It has to be. Yeah, yeah. But you don't get a nickname like Super Mo for no reason. Stalwart for the club. Played over 800 games. League winner as a part-timer. Just
first captain at Lift the Scottish Cup.
Of course. Absolutely brilliant. And my pick for Ralphie, like... It's Ralphie. Like, I've never really wrote nothing down. It's just Ralph Millen.
So we in agreement. It's Milne v Malpass. Is that where we're at?
But you could stick Charlie Millen.
I don't think there's any point.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it has to be.
yeah,
between those two.
But it'll be interesting to see who wins. I'm not sure if it's Malpass v Mullen who's actually going to be victorious with that. We'll see.
Yeah, we will. We absolutely will. So that's our 8 to 10. Let's see, we're going to do the mix and the max and all that next week. Right, on this day, final bit of business for the episode. In association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006. 30th October is our focus today, Paul. We start with some games. In 1982, the Wee team were aiming for the first victory across the road in 7 years. On a Davy Dodds goal, we'd have them still waiting as he scored with 4 minutes to go. We head to 1993 as the Firmers from Perth headed for Tannadice. Craig Brewster's screamer early in the second half set us on our way before Billy McKinley ended the contest with our second with 20 minutes to go. In 2010, United and Hibs went into the game both in sore need of a win. Podcast pal Danny Swanson came off the bench in the 72nd minute, and after some time out injured, he soon showed how much he'd been missed. His chip ball through meant there was no way David Gouwille was going to miss as he secured all 3 points. My question to you, Paul, what then happened to Danny Swanson in the game after the goal?
Did he get injured celebrating or something?
No, got subbied. He'd only been in the park 15 minutes.
Jeez.
I know. I think it might have been because he just got back from injury.
I remember that goal, though. I could see it clearly in my mind. Like, yeah. Great Buffy Swanson.
Amazing.
Great Buffy Swanson.
Three signings today. Jim McLean paid a Scottish transfer record fee of £165,000 to bring this midfielder to Tannadice. Went on to make 440 appearances, scored 108 goals, won the League Cup double and the League Championship on this day, 1979. Signed Eamon Bannon.
Great player for us. Jambo though.
Correct. After completing national service in his home country, Jim McLean signed an Olympic and under 21 international striker for a reputed fee of £100,000. He was on a part-time contract. He was pretty much unknown, but he went on to score 47 goals and 173 appearances for the club. On this day, 1987, was signed Miksu Patalainen.
I didn't know about the part-time.
Gone to the Arab Archive now.
It's gospel. It's
caught us out now and again.
It's gospel.
But it must be gospel. And it was Tommy McLean's turn to sign someone as he brought in a former Swedish under 21 and Olympic international on a short term contract. A longer contract was soon agreed and United paid £100,000 for him. He went on to make a century of appearances for the club. On this day, 1996, we signed Lars Zetterlund.
Yeah. Yeah, often overshadowed by Olofsson and Pedersen, but Zetterlund was a very good player.
Very, very good player. Very good player. We head west on Tuesday to avoid a Halloween horror show. Remember and leave plenty of time. Don't go through Fife. And if you need a jobby, Paul C and Ken Ross. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on social media. Check out the website. Leave us a voicemail, dodefoxpodcast.com. Have a great week. Stay safe. Don't forget to wash your hands and your arsehole.